You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Michelle Thurs. Michelle, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you.
Let's talk about what you're doing now. I know you have a few things going on. Can you tell me a little bit about them?
Well, currently I'm relaunching my company, Speak Art. And Speak Art was basically a cultural production company that was based online. And a component of it was producing art. Art objects, producing artist designed objects. And now I'm relaunching it mainly to focus on artists that are using moving image and artists that are interested in systems. And I'm leaning towards doing more publications. I'm really interested in publishing right now. And one of our first projects will be a publication by Michelle Handelman, a filmmaker based in New York, and I'll be producing and publishing a trilogy of her last three films. And it's kind of interesting because we were thinking about what does it mean to publish, and also using electronic media and also creating an object that would be relevant today. And so we thought to create an object, a textual object that will represent a book that will draw from her three films, and then have the trilogy be available through downloadable media online. So how to extend the physical into the virtual, again, is still the question, it seems, because it seems lately the DVD and Blu-ray and all this other external media has become kind of irrelevant. So that's what I'm working on currently.
And tell me a little bit more about how that's formed, though. So this is, I mean, it's obviously a curatorial project, but it's a publishing project. Is that a nonprofit publishing project? Do you imagine that, like, Michelle's work and film and this publishing will actually earn money, or is it more about distribution?
That's interesting because I've kind of struggled with, well, in any business, you have to kind of identify what the purpose is and what your audience is to make a successful business. And actually, Speak Art is a for-profit business, but it stems from this idea of building kind of a sharing information to create a market and also create broader conversation. So it's using kind of like what one would call in the past, like a dirt method of marketing, like, you know, meaning that, you know, that it's generated through like this idea of meme, or, you know, you're giving information, so more people have more access, and then maybe they'll want to own it to be able to share it, or, you know, themselves. I will be producing it independently and publishing it, but then I guess the commercial aspect of it will be the object that will be for sale in museum stores. Previously, Seek Art had been a series of artist-designed objects that I had produced with them. A really big point in my practice, actually, is always to think about perspective and how not to lose the intent of the artist's practice in creating designed objects or even in curatorial exhibitions. So how can you place the same concept in different platforms in different ways and not lose that conceptual play of the artist? And so this one is the big object is like, I mean, the big concern is creating this object that will be for sale in a store. And then also, what is the purpose of owning when you can see the works online for free? So there's lots of I guess that's being convoluted. Maybe we can go back to the question.
Well, let's go back to one example because I think the new publishing project and film and video has all these other issues associated with it. What's a past project that you've published and has, you know, sold or been exchanged with the public in a successful way that's fairly straightforward? Is there an example like that?
since I started a long time ago, I established a gallery called Moving Image Gallery in 2001 that really was one of the first galleries in New York to focus on artists that use electronic media and how to represent that in the physical space, and also what is this idea of public and object. So a lot of the exhibitions that I've done have had different publishing projects on different, all the work is published. Like, you know, either it's published online or it's published in a physical medium or it's made into a physical object. So it's like this idea of the translation of the concept into this, and into this publication of a sort. Even I have this kind of interesting idea of making, you know, for a long time, all my catalogs acted as almost exhibitions. I will steer away from the term curated books, you know, because I think actually they're extensions. They are actually ways to be kind of enveloped by the project inside this book, like the way imagination is. I think that some of the successful curatorial projects that have used actual published media would be like one of the first, a very successful exhibition of mine that I curated with a group of different curators to come on board was Public Execution, and it was online, and it was at Exit Art, and there was many different artists, over 20 artists in the exhibition, and different artists used different platforms to produce their work. And one artist, Corey Archangel and Jacob from Paperad, they did a newspaper in which it was distributed in various like newsstands throughout the city or whatever, and it was very successful in the way it was distributed and how it came back to the exhibition and also lent to their practice of you know.
Yeah, that's a very good example. So in talking about, again, because we went through that a little quickly, you opened this first gallery, which was really the first of its kind that way. Can you just go over a little bit why you opened that gallery and what the mission of it was, in a sense?
Yeah, it was 1999, and I had been working. I actually went to school for painting at the Art Institute of Chicago, and then I opened a series of different projects in Chicago more related to entertainment and while I was painting and food. Like, I had actually a few restaurants. And then I came to New York, and I got out of that business, and I started working for this dealer, Holly Solomon, who actually really was a supporter of the pop art era. And at the same time, I got a grant by Sun Hill Foundation, Spielberg Foundation, to produce a segment of the New York Film Festival, or co-produce a segment of the New York Film Festival dealing with animation. And at that time, I met a few different international artists, and one artist from Israel, Doron Golan, who was really working with these QuickTime animation, and he kind of opened a new door, you know, into this, the internet and net specific work, data dynamic work, programmers using, making animations. And then I was like just mystified by all this performance that was happening by artists like Disney Nassau Borg that were using both physical and virtual and code to create interactive pieces, mostly location pieces, and this idea of what animation was. And then it started spreading like a virus. There's all these different people were showing up, and I thought, oh, this would be perfect to open a gallery. Naive myself, you know, it seemed so easy because everything was this production and collaboration amongst a varied, you know, like there was producers, technicians, programmers, artists, scientists, everybody working on these major productions that seemed to happen miraculously and pretty easily while all the other institutions were having a hard time. Though I never thought very much about how to present this new genre of work, supposedly, that how the extension of figuration or cinema or animation or poetry, whatever, you know, all these different things they're dealing with using technology. So the mission of Moving Image Gallery was a failed commercial model, but instigated a very relevant conversation in which became a consultant to how to produce these works, how to buy these works, and how to exhibit these works. So,
right, but that's very that's very interesting. It opened up these very important questions, which is, as you're saying, you know, financially, it's a little more difficult. The gallery wasn't about sales, but you're creating inroads into this new medium, and people are understanding, I would imagine, a little more about how to collect it and its historical context, really.
Well, I think that was the big, you know, in fact, now 15 years later, still the same. I'm still stuck in the relevant way of how to use this information and not undermine the art practice, but yet make a market, you know, for it, besides just making it something in the gallery or a physical object. So always connecting. And this, where I've come to in that, both in the relaunching of Speak Art, one thing about myself is I really enjoy working with makers and thinkers and doers and producing different situations and exhibitions that talk about relevant subjects that are dealing with what's going on now. And when they're over, and even using this archiving technique or publishing technique online, you know, and making it physical, but I didn't really use that to all of my ability. I was so fast with the artist, like an artist making, that I wasn't thinking about all the relevance of the archive or developing the market. Yet I was consulting many different galleries and museums and producers and dealers on buying and collecting and selling and you know, all these things. So now I'm working on actually bringing back the archive. Like, with Speak Art, there will be a portfolio online that will have a timeline of over 50 exhibitions and different types of publications. The publication actually Corey Archangel and I did a long time ago was this floppy disk exhibition. I just found one in my archive, and I was like, this is brilliant. It was this 1.44 megs used as an invitation to a special event we had at FUN with this club downtown that's no longer existed, that was also with Bryzome. And it was all these different artists, including unusual suspects like Patty Johnson, you know, who's doing this sound word piece, and Corey and Michael Reese, many, many, many artists, Shake Up from Hey Red, et cetera. Unique works made for this floppy disk that are downloadable. I'm gonna republish this and put it available online and also make it a publication as an art object for sale. So
that's exciting. So in Speak Art, so let's just talk about the launch as it goes forward now, because it, you know, was kind of what brought us up to the mm-hmm. present, relaunching the Speak Art. What will be the projects in the future? And this sounds like something that, though some are less in the market than others, that mm-hmm. people can buy things from Speak Art. Is that true?
Seek, like seeking something. Speak Art, yes, it'll be a portfolio-driven site. And again, like right now, it's launching with four makers, an artist from Belgium dealing with kind of still moving objects, and Michelle Handelman dealing with more narrative feature films, and Elaine Tagnot, a performance conceptual artist dealing with happenings and publications, and Reynolds, a filmmaker, feature filmmaker. But there will be a store component, which will be that will be different publications, which each artist, I would hope that I would do either an artist-designed object and or a publication of their work in a new, as I'm developing, in a new way of thinking about what a publication is, what a book is, and how it can be extended, and how you can have that experience of being enveloped by, you know, the narrative, and then also extending it into our desires of ownership and what that does for our our projects and how we can share this information. A big kind of political underpinning of my practice is, you know, kind of a more sharing information. I would like it to extend into this idea of kind of like a bulletin board, an information zone, thinking back to an era, you know, like that there's this place that you can go and retrieve information, different perspectives without fear and be able to reuse them and serve as some sort of protocol on how to share and own at the same time.
I like that. Yeah, that's part of my agenda too. I'd love to see more of that. So it sounds like Seek Art will have a number of resources in it as well. Like there's other areas of exploration. We're talking about projects and publishing, but there'll be other aspects to it as well.
Yes, I mean, I was very inspired. I mean, when I saw your project, actually, I was like, oh, finally someone's doing this, because for a long time, I mean, with every exhibition, you know, all these makers I was working with, I was thinking, oh, I wanted to make an archive, and I wanted to develop this archive for educational purposes and also for commercial purposes, but this, that you could retrieve an insight to the artist's life and how they use medium and their goals and then their professional package. And so there will be this, I too, instead of developing it all on my own, I mean, I would also like to create the network, including, since I'm participating in yours, then extends to you and then someone else, all the people that you have, and they extend to them, and then everybody I'll be bringing on. I mean, I really think that this idea of network needs to be utilized more. Like we've been talking about it for a long time in all the practice, but still, as soon as we get to, I feel we as a general term, get to a certain place where we can bust through and create a new way of sharing information, there's a fear. Like, you know, so I think that Seek Art will steadily work toward this empowerment, I guess, and also concentrate on art making and need for expression without being too PC. Like, you know. I'm sorry.
I like that. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And when will the launch be of Seek Art?
Well, it's online now with seekart.org, and I'm going to soft launch it. It's probably in the middle of next week, and then it'll continue to grow. You know, my tendency is always, which I'm trying to break, is I just want to put a finished something there. So with no imperfections, but actually I think another part of the beauty is putting it up and people can see how it evolves. So, and
absolutely. And so that is seekart.org. That's SEEKART.org.
Yeah. Seek SEEK, hyphen art.org. Yes. There's so much, you know, information in general. It's hard. I think one of the goals is also to be able to stop and be present in what's going on now. So it's really, sometimes when you have such a big plan, you know, that's why I thought also to launch Seek Art now is to, you don't have to be everywhere, know everything. You can just be in the present. So.
Right. I like that. That's a very exciting project, and I hope everyone listening will also follow that project and support it. Michelle, thanks so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time and work.
Oh, thank you, and I appreciate your time and work, too. Seek and expand.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.